My name is John, and I am a sinner. And that is not a, that's not a casual or a glib statement. There is darkness and evil inside me that comes out of me in the way that I deal with life and with other people and the God who made me. And I am not and cannot be the person that I want to be. And that's not just true way back when. It's true right now. And it's true of you too. But we're finding a place together in the fellowship of the withered hand, in our neediness and our dependence on God, where the worse your story, the warmer your welcome, because the very recognition and public confession of personal inadequacy is itself a spiritual achievement that God gives us, and we got to celebrate it and ritualize it. So that's who I am. That's who you are. We're walking together through the 12 steps. They were historically taken from the church, from an attempt to follow Jesus, and they put people in a place where we can access tremendous spiritual power. It depends on a non-wimpy step one, admitted that we were powerless over our ultimate problems and our lives had become unmanageable. Self-will can't run the show. But now we're dealing with the second step. Today's a big day because I'm going to invite you to take the second step. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Now that little word could is real important. Doesn't say will or would. It's not guaranteed. There's a role for us to play, but it is possible. So this is the step of hope. What I want to focus on in these few moments now is sanity. It's very interesting. This step doesn't just say could keep us from drinking. It doesn't say restore us to sobriety. It says to sanity, because the root problem underneath addiction or whatever it else it is that we're attached to is our thinking. And the Bible talks about this over and over. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We need to set God always before our minds. Paul says about lost people in Romans chapter 1, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or give thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And the idea, whatever you might think about religion or faith or so on, you could think about it this way. All of us know that there is such a thing as good. There is a transcendent reality, and there is a claim, a moral claim on my life. And often I disregard it because of my desires. I want my will rather than wanting the good. And that leads to futile thinking, and in particular, to the belief or the thought that I am God and I will make things be the way that I want them to be. Henry Nouwen has this remarkable statement in his little book. I think it's In the Name of Jesus. It seems easier to be God than to love God. Because if I can be God, if I can just have power, then I can make things the way that they want to be. And as long as I could do that, that would make me happy and I would be glad. So in thinking about sanity, you might think about the serenity prayer. We will talk about that one. That's a big part of this journey. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now, insanity is the opposite of the serenity prayer. The insanity prayer is, I will accept things that I ought not to accept, that I can actually change, starting with me and my own life, and starting with my mind. Our greatest freedom is, what do I set my thoughts on, my mind on? And a lot of us never even take a look at that. So I accept the things that I ought to change, and I try to change things that I cannot change, particularly other people and circumstances. And so, and then I have the folly, the delusion to not even see the difference. So let's talk about sanity for a few moments. This is from the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. Sanity at its root involves being convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. Are you convinced of that? When we live on that basis, well, I'm trying to run the show. I remember seeing a movie years ago called The Truman Show. And it's about this character, Truman, that I identified with at first. This guy who's living in kind of a fake world, and it's all scripted. And then he gradually comes to see this and gains the courage to say, I'm going to leave this world. That was quite moving to me. But I saw it several times, and then I realized, oh, actually, in a lot of ways, I'm like another character in that movie called Christoph, who's the director. Cue the sun, cue the night. He's trying to run everything, control everybody. The name is significant. Christoph, Christ, the Messiah. And that's me. I'm trying to run the show. I want to be God. That's Genesis chapter 3. Your eyes will be open and you will be like God. It seems easier to be God than to love God. On that basis, we're almost always in collision with something or somebody. Even though we might say our motives are good, everybody is like an actor trying to run the whole show, forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, the rest of the players in his own way. If only his arrangements would stay put, if only people would do what I want them to do, the show would be great. Everybody, including me, would be pleased. Life would be wonderful. In trying to make these arrangements, our actor might sometimes be quite virtuous, might be kind, considerate, patient, generous, even modest and self-sacrificing. On the other hand, he may be mean, egotistical, selfish, and dishonest. As with most humans, he is more likely to have varied traits. Sometimes I look good, and then I think I'm a really good person. Sometimes I'm bad, but then I don't notice that. What happens? The show doesn't come off very well. He begins to think life doesn't treat him right. He decides to exert himself more. He becomes still more demanding or more gracious, as the case may be. Still, the play does not suit him. Admitting he may be somewhat at fault, he is sure that other people are more to blame. He becomes angry, indignant, self-pitying. What is his basic problem? Selfishness. That's the root of our problem, the big book says. And it leads to insanity. I'll give you one little example of insanity in my own life. I will think, generally because my ego is trying to run the show, I have so many things I have to do. I have so many demands laid on me. I don't have enough time. And then that will justify me very often in my life to be angry, to be irritable, to be ego-driven, to be self-preoccupied. Somebody in my life needs a favor. Somebody needs a ride. Oh, man, that's going to be so difficult to do. And instead of serving with the gracious spirit, sometimes I might not be able to do it, but very often I can. And instead of doing that with a gracious spirit out of love, I develop this kind of martyr thing, or I have to redo a project. And all of a sudden, immediately, there's this, oh, man, what? I don't have enough time. Somebody must have messed up somewhere. Here's the deal. The same God who invented you invented time. God does not will that you do what God does not give you time to do, or me either. There is plenty of time. God made this day 24 hours, and there's plenty of time for me to do today whatever God wants for me to do today. So that way of thinking, I don't have enough time, it is insane. It is futile, and it leads me down paths of lovelessness towards other people and anxiety and frustration and discontent with myself. And then I magnify that 1,000 times over. And what that means is that I become deeply spiritually lost. Now, part of the beauty of step two, came to believe a power greater than ourselves, that is God, could restore us to sanity, is we already started it in step one, because step one was admitting I'm powerless over me, over my biggest problems. And that's a step towards sanity. So you have already started that. Now, I want to point out how deeply those are woven in spiritual life, whether or not, you know, you're in a recovering movement, whatever you might think of all that. This is from Dallas Willard's book, Renovation of the Heart, where he talks about radical evil in the ruined soul. Now, this is a robust step one, seeing radical evil in the ruined soul. We must see the soul and the person in its ruined condition, with its malformed and dysfunctional mind, just insanity, spiritual and moral insanity, feelings, body, and social relations, before we can understand that it must be delivered and reformed and how that can be done. One of the greatest obstacles to effective spiritual formation in Christ today is simple failure to understand and acknowledge the reality of the human situation. As it affects Christians and non-Christians alike, we must start from where we really are. Lost persons, in Christian terms, are precisely those who mistake their own person for God. And we do that, and then we don't do it. We are lost, and then we don't know that we are lost. Dallas writes, very commonly, a driver will be lost before he even knows that he is lost, although rarely before his wife knows that he is lost. He wrote that back in the days before, you know, GPS and Siri. But I'll defy even Siri if I am adamantly convinced of my rightness. So the place where we start today is the step of hope. Of course, my thinking is futile. I will be insane in all kinds of ways all through the day. But now I'm setting my mind in a different place. I come to believe that there is a God who loves me and who cares about me, and he actually wants to transform my mind. And it's possible for me to affirm that. At least I can be willing to do that. Are you willing to believe in that kind of a God today? And will you come to him? Will you come to that Jesus and say, here is my mind, God. Would you bring my mind back into your presence and help me to think about you through this day? Would you help me to know I have all the time that I need to do whatever it is that you're asking me to do? And that every other person has their own story. Everybody gets a story. Everybody's story matters to them. Nobody gets the story they want. We're all trying to direct our story. But I'm going to let go of trying to direct my story, God, today. I will accept life, reality as it is. I will accept who I am, my genes, my body, my age. I will accept that. I will accept other people. I will seek with your help, God, for there to be change in my orientation, in the way that I think about things, in the way that I view things. I'll try to view them together with you, right there alongside me at my right hand. That's the invitation today. And if you're ready to do that, if you are willing to believe that God can restore you to sanity, that there is hope, and place yourself in his hands and continue on with the rest of the steps. If you're willing to believe that, just say yes right now. And then you have done the second step. But don't stop there. Keep coming back. It works if you work it.
Hey, you just finished a video from our series, Steps, which is based on John's new book releasing February 4th by the same name, Steps. So if you're catching this video before February 4th, you might want to pre-order the book. You can do that at our website, becomenew.com/steps. And when you pre-order, it will unlock exclusive content from John just for you. While you're there, you can subscribe to Become New to make sure you don't miss any future episodes in this series or any other videos that we do. As a community, we believe in spiritual growth one day at a time, and a big part of that is prayer. There's a team of us that meets each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for viewers just like yourself. So if you have a specific prayer request, we would love to pray with you. You can text it to us to 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.